Good morning, friends. So good to be back. A few housekeeping things before I really begin. First, a very heartfelt thank you to the text messages, the cards, the offerings that you made after my emergency gallbladder surgery. My gallbladder, apparently, according to the doctor, was angry, inflamed, and infected. Yeah, it was. It's been a slow kind of a recovery. If I seem a bit wobbly, it's because I am a bit wobbly still. The strength is slowly returning. But I thank you, really, from the bottom of my heart for everything that you lifted. You have also asked if there were any needs, and actually, this coming week, I do have a couple of needs. So I want to lift these to you right here, and then if you're available, just let me know after the service. I think my transmission is almost out of transmission fluid, so I need to drop my car off tomorrow morning. If you can give me a ride from the shop to here so I can get here for the book study, I'd love you. And then probably a ride back, too. And then also, speaking of character narratives that have yet to be filled, there's a critical role we need on April 2nd, Maundy Thursday, for that Thursday evening service at 7 o'clock. If you want to play Peter, let me know. Okay, doesn't matter. Yes? Mick. Mick's got Peter? Oh, Mick's got Peter. You told me. If I seem a bit wobbly, Trish... don't think it's just physically, okay? Super. Mix Pete. Great. Okay, I'll make a note of that. Thank you. Okay. Shepherds. Friends, this is perhaps one of the most recognizable characters or metaphors that we have in the Bible from early Hebrew Testament throughout the Gospels and the New Testament readings. The imagery of a shepherd has been set upon us. Need I mention anything more than just Psalm 23, right? I bet you could almost recite those entire six verses, but I just want you to do the last one, which begins with, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of my Lord." See? It's an image that sets within us. I want to tweak that last verse for you just a bit. In the New Revised Standard Version, the one that we commonly read from, it is, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." The Hebrew word translated as "to follow" is probably better translated as "to pursue." So, let's read it with this connotation. Understanding that goodness and mercy are attributes of God, the good shepherd, right? So instead of "goodness and mercy shall follow me," goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. That's a little bit different, isn't it? If you've ever been on the freeway just casually driving, doing the speed limit, and there's a police officer behind you, what happens to your heartbeat the second that light turns on? That's the difference, my friends, between follow and pursuit. Something changes. This morning I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. Hear these words from John's Gospel. "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, And the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I laid down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." Would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, breathe into us your Spirit, we pray, that these words from my mouth and the meditations of my heart may be wholly acceptable to you and to find a home in the hearts of these, your beloved. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Ezekiel's call for accountability within the institution of the church of his time. Are we seeing that today? Yes, the arrest and conviction of far too many abusers of power. We do indeed peel through the notes in news feeds. Predominantly, men sexually abusing boys and girls through their pastoral office. Grifters making bank on selling you away from your worst fears. Hell, that is. But wait, there's more. Buy now and I'll pray for you today. Send me another $1,000 and I'll make sure that you see more debt before you see any answered prayers. And that's a promise I can stand by. Faith healers in giant arenas. Wait. With those kinds of powers, why didn't I have a faith healer in my hospital room? It would have saved me a huge deductible. Where were they? Do you hear that? Crickets. These are the shepherds Ezekiel calls out. And then we turn to the good news and we read Jesus saying, "Hey, y'all, I am the good shepherd." It's true that the readers of this early gospel would hear that phrase, the good shepherd, and potentially recall Ezekiel's story of shepherds, thus having to differentiate between the two, to have to critically think of the differences for understanding everything that's being spoken. Ezekiel's shepherds have abandoned their calling. They feed themselves while the sheep scattered,
while the sheep are weakened, while the sheep have become prey for wolves, it's not just neglect, but active exploitation, a very betrayal of the ones they were entrusted to protect. Conversely, Jesus contrasts himself not only with thieves and wolves, but also with hired hands, those who run when danger comes because their flock is not their own. Let me say that again, clearer this time. Jesus contrasts himself not only with thieves and wolves, but also with hired hands, those who run when danger comes because their flock is not their own. Their allegiance lies elsewhere. The good shepherd stays. But these passages are deeper than we previously imagined. It's not just about leadership, but also about the sheep. The sheep often appear as passive elements in these stories, don't they? We don't often think of the sheep in there. Or do they have some power we're just not yet seeing? We are the sheep, at least we've been taught that in our childhood Sunday school classrooms. Jesus is our shepherd. We repeat that. That's the image that we've taken on throughout our faith life. Still, do we remain passive, just waiting in times of turmoil to see what Jesus will do on our behalf? Is that what kind of sheep we are? I'm reminded of a little video I saw recently of a farmer helping a sheep out of a rain culvert. It was deep, about 5-6 foot deep, and the farmer, getting awfully dirty himself, was lifting the sheep up, got him onto the flat land. The sheep starts to prance, and then jumps right back in the rain culvert. Are we that sheep? Do we remain passive, just waiting in times of turmoil to see what Jesus will do on our behalf? In this passage, the gatekeeper opens the gate, calls the sheep by name, and leads them out. And the sheep do this because they know his voice. The shepherd takes initiative, and the sheep, we begin to see, are not entirely passive. The sheep listen. And in a better Greek translation of the word, they perceive. It's not just listening, but a depth of understanding that goes beyond that. Shepherd opens the gate. The Greek word used for know, to know the voice, suggests that listening isn't just mere knowledge, but awareness. A recognition grounded in perception and relationship. The sheep do not follow the stranger because what they've heard is first unfamiliar, and their perception of the voice doesn't add up to turn and follow. Here, too, the sheep demonstrate attentiveness and awareness. Are we truly aware enough to resist distractions and remain faithful to Jesus, who leads us in the way that welcomes all? Are we attentive enough to discern his voice above the many competing voices urging us to remain in the comfort of the status quo? So much demands our attention. Are we listening? Like the sheep listen. Beyond that, are we responding in following? You See, listening for the shepherd's voice means discerning love from the voices of harm. Jesus reclaims this shepherd leadership role as a protective presence with courage and sacrificial love. Is this what we're seeing in the world today? Through my own life lens as a pastor, looking at other faith traditions and listening and absorbing, I'm seeing a world of misogynistic, grifting Christian leaders, shepherds, out to sell a religion and forego the basics of the Gospels. I see ones leaning in right now on horrid interpretations of the book of Revelation, weighting that over and above the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Can we be that unserious as Christians that we think a rapture is coming again? Friends, it hasn't worked the first dozen times, okay? By the way, the rapture was something created by humankind anyways. There's nothing about that in the Bible whatsoever. Period. End of story. It's not. Are we listening? And when we hear that, are we able to hold those leaders accountable? We are the ones to reclaim the gospel for what it is. We are the ones, the sheep, who hear and perceive. We are the ones that must walk in protective presence, courageousness, and sacrificial love, because we hear the voice, the shepherd that tells us to do just that. Amen. Amen. Amen.